Host for There Is Hope is Richard Dover.
Today's lesson is titled Delays and Answer Prayer. Delays and Answer Prayer. What if I was to tell you that it sometimes feels like God is like a plumber? Now you say, God's like a plumber. Let me just share a little story with you. Plumber comes to the house and he knocks on the door and he says, "Good morning, ma'am. I've come here to fix your broken pipe." And she says, "Well, we don't have a broken pipe." And he says, "Aren't you not Mrs. Foster?" She says, "Mrs. Foster hasn't lived here for over a year." And the plumber responds, he says, "How do you like that? I get a call that there's a broken pipe and I come and they've moved away." Now, did you get the story? The story is the plumber comes a year later after his request for a broken pipe. So it sometimes feels like God's a year behind in answering our prayer. It seems like we have an emergency and God isn't there. But I want to tell you that God is on time. He's always on time to answer a prayer. God certainly isn't like that plumber that answers a year later if we have an emergency, even though it may feel like that. I want to share a passage to you. It's a kind of a different passage in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. And it says, "The vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. It seems slow in coming, but it will surely take place." And I want to tell you something. It may seem like that God's answer is taking a long time, but it will come to pass at the right time. Listen, in the Bible, there's prophecy after prophecy that gets fulfilled. Sometimes it's taken 1,000 years for that prophecy to be fulfilled. But when God speaks, He fulfills what He says. When God answers prayer, He answers it in His time and His way. And I want to assure you, it won't take 1,000 years for prayer to be answered. But what if I was to talk to you about sometimes the reason there is a delay in answered prayer is because we're looking for our own specific answer. We're looking for what we want and not what God wants. Sometimes we have God in a box and we say, "God, you have to operate this way. You have to do this. You have to do that." Or maybe when God is working on our behalf, we're too busy doing other things and not paying attention to what God is doing. Let's take the story of the plumber again. Say the plumber responds immediately to the call of a broken pipe and he shows up and he scheduled an appointment with the family to be there at noon and they're not there. Well, if they're not there, he's not going to be able to fix the pipe. Or say that they turn around and they say, I don't know if the plumber's ever going to show up. He's 5 minutes late and so he's not going to be here and they take off. Well, then their pipe isn't going to get fixed. Well, sometimes what happens is we're thinking God should answer our prayers in a certain way in our timing, and then when God is there to work and move, we're not paying attention. It's kind of like that old story that's been repeated over and over and over again. It's the story of the man. There's a flood. He's on the top of his roof. The water's getting higher and higher, and he's crying out to God, and God sends somebody with a canoe, and he says, "No, I'm waiting for God to answer." They come with the boat. He says, "No, I'm waiting for God to answer, respond, to help me." And then a helicopter comes, and he still says, "No, I'm waiting for God to answer my prayers and to rescue me." And of course, he drowns, and then when he's in heaven, he says, "God, why didn't you rescue me?" And God says, "I sent the canoe, the boat, and the helicopter." I'm sure most of you have heard that story. Well, sometimes we're like that. God is answering our prayers, but we're expecting Him to do it a certain way, and then we don't receive what He has for us. Listen, we need to trust God, and that God knows what He's doing, and we need to be open to how He is going to answer our prayers. If you know Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, just look at it. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, and it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." In verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." Listen, when we're praying and seeking God, we're crying out to Him, we need to trust Him. We need to trust that He will answer our prayers, that He has a solution to our situation. We need to lean not on our understanding. And listen to me. Trust Him means that we need to be patient. Trust Him means we need to wait upon the Lord and allow Him to work in His timing. Now, what about God's timing? Let's talk a little bit about God's timing. If you know anything about God, sometimes He doesn't respond immediately when we feel like we need Him to, And sometimes he answers in what seems like the 23rd hour. Right at 11:59 is when the answer comes, just before the clock strikes midnight. But listen, if God answers, he answers. But what I want us to look at is that sometimes there's a delay because there's a spiritual battle going on, because there's spiritual warfare going on. So we're going to go to Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. I'm reading out the New Living Translation. It says, in the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, had another vision. He understood that the vision concerned events certain to happen in the future, times of war and great hardship. Now Daniel starts to fast and pray exactly when the vision is, when the events are going to take place. And it says he fasted and prayed for 3 weeks and he doesn't get an answer. You hear that? He's praying for, this is Daniel, a man of God. He's praying for 3 weeks and he can't get an answer to the vision. So he's fasting, he's praying. And then if we go to chapter 10, and we're going to go to verse 12, is what happens is Daniel has a visitation by an angel. And the angel says, then the angel said to me, fear not, Daniel, for the first day that you set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. But the prince of the king of Persia withstood me on the 21 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I come to make you understand what shall befall your people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. So Daniel prays for 3 weeks. He doesn't get an answer. And the reason why is there is spiritual warfare going on. So there's a battle in the spiritual realm that's stopping the angel to give Daniel the answer. Listen, we need to understand sometimes the reason there's a delay in prayer because there is warfare going on. There, things are happening in the spirit realm we don't know about. And I also want you to think about this. For God to answer our prayers, he has to work with people who have their own free will because some of them are answered to our prayer. So he has to get things lined up. And so there's things happening behind the scenes that we don't know about. That doesn't mean that God is not going to answer our prayers. It doesn't mean that God is saying no to our prayers. It means that there's something going on behind the scenes we don't know. And what do we need to do? We need to trust God. Now listen. Who else are we going to trust? Are we going to trust ourselves to get our prayers answered? The only one we can trust in is God, and we have to, by faith, again, not lean on our own understanding, but to believe that God will answer our prayers. And listen, sometimes the answer is no, but that's an answer. But God will answer our prayers if we stay faithful, if we cry out to him, if we continue to trust him. So we see that sometimes there's a delay to answer prayer because of spiritual warfare. Another reason why there can be delay to answer prayer is because God has his perfect timing. And his timing is normally not our timing. And I want to give you a story in the Bible that helps you understand that. It's the story of Esther. I encourage you to read the entire book of Esther. We don't have time to go through all of it. But if you know the story, is that the nation of Israel is being persecuted, that Haman is an enemy of the nation of Israel, and he's trying to get the king to bring destruction to the nation of Israel. You have Esther, who becomes the queen of the king. And what happens is that it looks like the only way the nation of Israel is going to be saved is if Esther intervenes. But if Esther intervenes from the nation of Israel, there's the potential that she will be killed. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at Esther chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. In verse 13, Mordecai commands Esther that you should go to the king on behalf of the Jews. In verse 14, for if you hold your peace, you don't say anything, then there shall be deliverance arise to the Jews, maybe from another place. But you and your father's house shall be destroyed. And who knows whether you are come to this kingdom for such a time as this. He's saying to Esther, maybe you came into the kingdom for such a time as this to deliver the nation of Israel. And so if you know the story, Esther turns around and intervenes on behalf of the nation of Israel. And what I want us to do is to pick up on chapter 8 and see what happens in Esther chapter 8. So if God has a special time for the nation of Israel to be delivered and he's using Esther, Esther has to cooperate. So maybe there's a delay because somebody that's supposed to be part of the answered prayer doesn't cooperate. There is a delay because God is trying to line everything up. If you know the story, is Haman has the king sign some letters that specifically says the Jews could be destroyed. So then Esther goes to the king and she pleads on behalf of the king to save the nation of Israel. And in verse 5, in chapter 8, verse 5, and she said, if it please the king, and if I have favor in his sight, and the thing seems right before the king, and I be pleasing his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews written on the king's promises. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come to my people? How can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then King Ahasuerus said to Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he has laid hand upon the Jews. You write also for the Jews as it likes you, in the king's name, and seal the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, may no man reverse it. Then the king's scribe called at that time the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof, and is written according to all that Mordecai commanded to the Jews and to the lieutenants and the deputies and rulers of the provinces, which are from India and Ethiopia, 127 provinces, to every province according to the writing thereof, to every people after language, and the Jews according to the writing, according to their languages. And he wrote and sealed it, and they went out, and ultimately he gave the Jews authority to slay and destroy every single person that came after them. Listen, here's the story. It looks like there's total disaster for the nation of Israel. Have you ever felt like there's total disaster? Have you ever felt like that God isn't answering your prayer? You felt like everything's going to cave in on you and it seems hopeless? The nation of Israel was in that condition. But God raised up Esther to intervene, and ultimately something miraculous happens. What was going to destroy the nation of Israel instead, the nation of Israel destroys their enemies. Listen, what was going to destroy you, God instead destroys your enemies. But there was a delay. There is some, at times it seems like God isn't there, but obviously he's working behind the scenes. Listen, God's working behind the scenes on your behalf. That God is going to raise up individuals, people, places, circumstances for such a time as this. And guess what happens? God gets glorified. He does the miraculous. Don't give up when there is delay in prayer, answered prayer. Don't quit, because at the right moment, at the right time, God's going to bring the answer. And it's going to be a miraculous answer. It's going to be an amazing answer to your prayer. The delay may be because there's spiritual warfare going on. The delay may be because God is lining up the perfect scenario to answer your prayer. Believe me, God is on your side even when it doesn't feel like it. And I know at times it does not feel like it. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Where you feel hopeless and helpless and you just feel like there's no way you can hang on any longer. We're going to address that also. But I want to share another concept with you. And that concept sometimes delayed prayer because we're being disobedient. We're not doing what God has asked us to do. And we're not being faithful. We're getting discouraged. We're becoming somebody that's grumbling and complaining. We're not trusting God. And we line ourselves up more with the enemy than we line ourselves up with God. And that can bring a delay to our prayers. It can also cause God to say no, that he just can't intervene on our behalf because we're stubbornness and rebellion. And I want to share a story with you, what happens when we're obedient. And the story I want to share with you is Luke chapter 19. So we're going to chapter 19 of Luke. And it says, and Jesus entered passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and not for the press of the people, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste and came down to receive him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, this day is salvation has come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want you to look at this. Zacchaeus was obedient what God asked of him to do. Zacchaeus came down from the tree. He welcomed Jesus. He repented. And Jesus says salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus had some requests. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to learn more about Jesus, and he had that opportunity. Now, I want you to think about something. What about if Zacchaeus said to himself, you know what? Jesus isn't going to want to talk to me. I'm a tax collector. Jesus isn't going to answer any of my requests because I'm not good enough. You know, I'm just a little man. I'm not even bothered. Right? Everybody's pushing me away. But what did Zacchaeus do? He pressed forward. He climbed up on the tree to look up to be able to look down to be able to see Jesus. And Jesus looked up and saw him. And ultimately, salvation came to Zacchaeus' house. Listen, if Jesus calls you to come out of the tree, you need to come out. If Jesus asks some things of you to bless you, to answer your prayer, you need to be obedient. Listen, if you're not seeing answer to prayer and you start grumbling, you start complaining, you start being negative, you start becoming unfaithful, how in the world do you think God is going to answer unfaithfulness? So when there's delay, be positive. Believe that God's going to answer. Keep calling out to him. Keep saying, God, I need your intervention. I need your help. God, I'm here. I want to worship you, honor you, glorify you, regardless of the answer prayer or not. I want to get intimate. Listen, Zacchaeus got close to Jesus. When you're not getting answered prayer, get close to Jesus. Don't run from Jesus. Grab hold of Jesus. Get intimate with Jesus. So many times we don't get answered prayer, we're giving up on God when he hasn't given up on us. Call out to him. I've talked about that God answers prayer. It may be delayed because of spiritual warfare. It may be delayed because there's a timing issue. It may be delayed because we're walking out of disobedience, but when we repent and get right with God, there'll be answers to our prayer. But listen, sometimes God says no. Sometimes he says no. He says no to our prayers. Even Apostle Paul, man of God, seen God do miraculous things. One time, he received the answer no to his prayers. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look at verses 8 and 9. So actually, we're going to look at verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations God has given me, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So what is he saying? That he had many revelations and that he could become very prideful. And he says that there was Satan buffeting against him. And he asked God to, whatever this was that was coming against him three times, he asked God to remove it, and God didn't remove it. Instead, God says, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul seeks God to remove whatever it is what this problem was, but God says, I'm keeping this in your life to keep you humble. And then God says, my grace is sufficient. Listen, we don't know why God says no at times, and other times we do know why he says no to our prayers. But this is what we know. If God says no, it's to our benefit. I want to share good news with you. Even if God says no, his grace is sufficient for whatever is going on in our life that we're praying about. I have good news for you. That according to Romans chapter 8, verses 28, it says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I want to share a personal story about God saying no to a prayer request I had. Moving here to Arkansas is I needed to get work. Once we got settled in and we'd been here for a few months, it was time to get back to work, and I wasn't going to get back involved in ministry per se as a pastor of a church. And so I was looking for a secular job, something where I could just make some money and get an income coming in and then kind of see what God would have us to do next when it comes to ministry. Well, I have many years of experience in the retail grocery business. I also have several years of experience driving for Uber. And so I figured it'd be pretty easy for me to be able to find something working for a Walmart or working for a dollar store or a Dollar Tree, whatever it may be. I could find some kind of work, convenience store. So I put in applications at various places and really kind of wanted to get a job at Walmart or at one of the Dollar General stores or Dollar Tree stores, and nothing was happening. And I was getting discouraged. And I also put an application in to be a delivery driver for a dental lab. And actually, I put that application in before I moved from Seattle to Arkansas. But I was not getting any calls whatsoever. Now, I'm a hard worker. I have years of experience. I have a great resume. But nothing is happening. And I'm getting discouraged. And so then I looked at how the delivery job was opening up again. So I applied again. No response. Nothing. And I just threw my hands up and I said, I guess God doesn't want me to have that job. I guess that, I don't know what is going to happen, but I need to get some income coming in. I need to get some money. And I just figured God said no to everything. And so this driver job, I just gave up on. Now listen, I wanted the driver job. It's to work 3 days a week, 12 hours a day for the dental lab. It's long hours, but then I'd only have to work 3 days a week. Nothing happens, nothing happens. Then I get a phone call saying they have another shift that's open, Monday through Friday. It's from 5 in the morning to about 1:30 in the afternoon. And I thought about it, I said, man, I'd rather work that 3 day shift. But I said, okay, I'm interested in it. I get an interview and I get hired. Now I want to tell you something. I am so glad that God said no to the 3 day a week shift. For me to drive 12 hours a day, I don't think I can do that like I used to. Along with the fact it's a very trying job, much harder than what I have now. Listen, what I have now. All things work together for good for those who love God and call according to His purpose. I have to drive from where I live here in Arkansas, and I drive to Tennessee, Mississippi. Listen, I'm on the road for 5 hours a day, and they pay me to listen to worship music, to listen to sermons, and to be praying while I'm driving. Now, of course, they're not paying me for that. They're paying me to drive to the dental labs that are in Arkansas, that are in Tennessee, that are in Mississippi. But in order to get there, there's nothing else I can do but listen to worship music, listen to sermons, and pray. I am so thankful for the job. It's so easy. It's a simple job, not very stressful. And it's a lot less stressful to drive 8 hours instead of drive 12 hours. All things work together for good for those who love God. But listen to me. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, there is no promise that things are going to work out good for you. I'm not saying that they can. I'm not saying that God doesn't love you. He loves you if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior. But the promise it says is that all things work out for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Now listen, God has called you to accept Christ into your life. But are you accepting Christ in your life? Are you receiving His love? And are you showing your love towards Him by receiving His Lord and Savior? So what I want to do is I just want to share the gospel message with you. I want to let you know how you can be born again, how you can be saved, how you can have eternal life, how you can be a child of the Most High God so that all things work out together.
This is Pastor Rich. Do you need to know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. John 1:7 says, you must be born again. Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And Matthew 1:15 says, repent you and believe the gospel. Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today? If you want to get more information, you can always go to our website to learn how to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can go to thereishopetv.org. That's thereishopetv.org, and we have information on frequently asked questions about Christianity. We let you know step by step how to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I encourage you to go to thereishopetv.org. That is thereishopetv.org. Also, I want to let you know if you would like to talk to me personally, you can always give me a call toll free anytime, 1-866-1-GOD.
fact, there's one thing I want to share with you when it comes to delayed answers to prayer. That'll be in our next message. It's going to be from two passages of Scripture. It's going to be from Psalms chapter 69 and Psalms 116. I know what I've shared, it sounds like it's so easy to trust God, so easy to wait for, just be patient on God. No, it's hard. When we're going through hell, when we're going through tough times, when things just feel hopeless and helpless, everything's coming against us, maybe it's sickness in our bodies, maybe it's the sickness of a loved one, maybe it's a loss of a job and you don't have any money, you're wondering where you're going to live, what you're going to eat. Maybe you are emotionally distressed to the max, you have relationship problems, and you're saying, I can't wait any longer for answered prayer. Listen, Psalm 69, 116, give us a clue of what we should do when there's delayed answers of prayer. The psalmist is going to share when it feels like it's all hopeless, and then the psalmist shares what they do in the midst of hopelessness. It is a key to answer prayer. It is a key to see victory when you're going through tough times. I'm not going to give you the answer. I'm going to challenge you. Go to Psalms 69 and Psalms 116. Look it up, read it, and I think you'll find the answer. And then next week I will share with you the most important thing you can do when you're seeing delays to answered prayer. God bless you.
Some of my upcoming messages are titled Compost. Yeah, compost. You know, compost, you take items and they decompose and you put them in your plants. Well, what if I was to tell you there's some things that we need to put in the compost pile that need to die so God can do something greater in our life? I'm going to be talking about what is ministry. Ministry is more than pastoring a church or being a worship leader. In fact, every single one of us can operate in works of ministry. I'm going to talk about chiggers and people. Yeah, chiggers. If you don't know what they are, you're going to learn what they are and how some people can be like chiggers. And then we're going to talk about leaves, leaves, leaves. All kinds of leaves, and that as we gather up the leaves, what can we learn about gathering up leaves? And then the message is going to be titled Burn Barrel. If you live in the country, there's some things that you put into the burn barrel that needs to be destroyed. And there's some things in life that probably needs to be removed and never go back to. There's some past that just needs to be forgotten about, let go of, and move forward. We need to move beyond the past. So what do you need to throw in the burn barrel?
You have been listening to There Is Hope with Pastor Richard Dover. Through Jesus Christ, we can live a victorious life.